Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for joining in. We have an hour of wonderful talent ahead of us and a real variety of wonderful music, so I'm excited to get started. But first, the weather with field correspondent Von Kettleson and climatologist Alwyn Taylor.
Community Radio KHOI, visiting with ISU Extension climatologist Dr. Elwyn Taylor. I'm Von Kettleson. Elwyn, we're wrapping up the month of January, moving into the new month of February here around the corner. What do we see weather-wise this week?
Well, we've always got to remember, February's still winter, and each day this week is feeling a little bit more like winter as the day's temperatures go down compared to what we had over this past weekend, but at least it doesn't bring mud. And so here we are with highs in the teens, not in the few, but lows in the teens are likely before this week is over. And so don't expect it to be bitter, but do expect it to be winter. And front, then another front, and then air from Canada. That's what we've got. 6 to 10 day outlook to take us all through, right up to the middle of the month. And that will give us about normal temperature for this time of year. And normal temperature's not a bad thing, and except it's a winter thing. And remember, it gets about 20 degrees colder at night than it is for the high in the day. Just keep that in mind, and that's the way it's going to go. 6 to 10 day outlook up to the middle of the month says normal just continues, so just plan on it. And even normal chances are a little bit above normal chance of having a little bit of precipitation. That's the outlook. Some people have been wondering, are we going to get this La Nina they've been talking about, the harsh weather that goes with that? Well, there's no clue about it coming right now. In fact, the ocean temperatures are beginning to look like it might be an El Nino again. Well, the last 3 years were dominated by that. The crops for the farmers were dominated by that, and that's always a good big crop when you have an El Nino. Not always, but 70% of the time it's well above the trend. And so that is the good conditions for having crops, not great conditions for prices if you're paying attention to farms. If you're just paying attention to your garden, we can't beat an El Nino condition. Remember, right now, that is the most likely thing for summer and the most likely thing for spring. In response to all that fog we had in January, just about everybody who was raised in Iowa knows that means a wet spring, and science does not disagree with that.
Okay. ISU Extension climatologist Dr. Elwyn Taylor joining us. Von Kettleson on Community Radio, KHOI.
Thank you, Elwyn, and thank you, Von. As always, we appreciate your report very much. Just this past Saturday, an annual event occurred in Des Moines that has become a landmark in the Iowa calendar. Among other things, it serves as a gracious way to usher in the month of February, designated as Black History Month. Vivica Dillard, one of KHOI's radio hosts and producers, was there. On Saturday night, after her regular show, The Hotspot, Vivica sat down with me to put this report on record.
This past Saturday, I was able to go check out I'll Make Me a World in Iowa. It's an African-American festival that takes place in Des Moines. It was at Hy-Vee Hall in Des Moines, and it was the 19th annual year that it had come around.
So this is a conference that happens once a year in Des Moines?
It's a big festival. Iowa State had a booth there, Drake University, UNI, they had the Peace Corps was there. They had bouncy houses, they had praise dancers, they had concession stands, and everything that would appeal to the African-American crowd and anybody else that decided to come.
So it was a family event.
Yeah, absolutely.
According to their website, their mission is stated as a diverse collaboration of Iowans, which highlights African-American arts, culture, and contributions through education, awareness, and preservation during an annual celebration with continual educational outreach. So it sounds like they're also involved with preserving history of African Americans in Iowa.
Yes, absolutely. From what I've gotten from it is that it is to educate. It's to educate people on the African American culture, just in general, to bring that light, just to shed the light on it, and to kick off Black History Month.
Tell us a little bit about how this festival got started. Who started it?
Oh, this all started back in 1998, PBS had a miniseries called I'll Make Me a World as a challenge for communities to develop programs highlighting African American arts and culture within their community. The national broadcast came about in February of 1999. A group of volunteers in Iowa decided to take on that challenge. They accepted the challenge of improving the amount of African American arts and culture that was being exposed to everyone's community. Volunteers in Iowa came together and decided to make I'll Make Me a World in Iowa. On January 30th of 1999, they decided to have their first day-long celebration of African American arts and culture. They were expecting to have about 300 people, and they ended up having about 1,000 people. And they've just been doing it 19 years later.
Why did you go?
I went because I just heard that on the radio that it was an all-black event. And so I was like, all right, I gotta go. I'll Make Me a World in Iowa is known as the first major festival of the year. And it's the inspiration for other major ethnic festivals in Iowa and the state's kickoff to Black History Month. It's like, I love all-black events. It's just a homey feel. I just feel at home. I just feel at home.
You're from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Living in Iowa, you probably don't relate with as many African American people as you're accustomed to here in Iowa. Is that correct?
Yeah, because you come here and it's like a lot of people, they want to paint the picture of what they think black is or what black should be, or they think just because you're black that you're supposed to like speak with a certain vernacular or walk a certain type of way, like you're supposed to have a certain dip in your walk.
The stereotype, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes. Black people or people of color fall under that stereotype. They get brainwashed in the lack of diverse culture that mm-hmm. exists in Iowa, and they get lost in it, and then they start to, you know, get accustomed to life in Iowa.
Does it affect you?
It did. I caught myself, just losing touch of my culture, just not being as in tune, like not really knowing what's going on in the black community, mm-hmm. not giving support to black stores, black artists, you know, just losing myself in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because the south suburbs of Chicago, it's so common to go to a neighborhood that's just black owned everything. And it's so hard to do that here in the south suburbs of Ames or Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just glad. I am glad that I'll Make a World in Iowa. I'm really glad that it is an event that does exist because, it was just beautiful to walk in the door and just be greeted by hundreds of black people. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, like I said, it's just a homey feel.
How many people were at the festival?
It was an all-day thing from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. I got there about 3 o'clock. It was 200, maybe 300 people there once I got there. They were telling me as I was walking in, the kids were like, yeah, it's dead now. But it was that many people, and that was considered dead. And the headliners hadn't even come out yet. So it was great.
So was your impression that a lot of people came to it?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Did you see people from all over the state?
Yes, yes. I met people from really small towns, names I can't really remember. Did you know that there's a Jamaica, Iowa? I met someone from Jamaica, Iowa.
Is it mostly African Americans or is it a mixed crowd?
It's mostly black people. It's just things that appeal to black people. Like, if you're heavy on social media right now, you notice a lot of people saying that people are doing a lot of different things for the culture. And the festival was something that was truly for our culture. Like, our black culture starts in the church. And so the first thing I saw when I walked in, they had praise dancers in one corner. Mime praise dancing.
Describe a praise dancer.
Okay, so you know what a mime is.
Like a pantomime.
Doing it, but yeah, that's what they do. They found a way to incorporate that into praise dancing in church. They paint their faces white, and praise dancing is a form of praising. I've never really had to explain it to anybody, so it's weird to really have to explain what's happening in church. But praise dancing, it's a form of worship. It's a form of worship. It involves dancing, and miming is the form of dancing, is that form of praising and that dancing.
Does it happen in the audience, or does it happen in the altar area of the church?
It's in the front part of church and during praise and worship.
Mime praise dancing happens in the black church.
100%. 100% something that takes place in the black church. For you guys that are listening, I do suggest that you YouTube mime praise dancing. That way you can really paint the picture of what I'm trying to tell you right now. No one that was in there that saw it happening was thrown off.
What else did you see?
The food. Sweet potato pies. Of course, they had fried chicken. They had red beans and rice. They had just staple food. They had black eyed peas. Staple foods. Macaroni and cheese. Oh, my goodness. The macaroni and cheese was so good. You go to any black household, the macaroni and cheese is going to stand out. Like I said, it was just it's a culture thing. And it's, for me, that's the beauty of black people. It's always good to be just around my people. And that is what I'll Make Me a World in Iowa is all about. People, like, exposing people to that culture of a race that can, a lot of the times, get ignored.
What was your favorite part of the festival?
Meeting 12-year-old and 9-year-old brother and sister, Michaela and Michael. They are entrepreneurs and authors. Amazing children. They both wrote books and published them. And had them printed and everything, and they were selling them. And their mom was there supervising. She took no parts of it. She was just there supervising.
You had recorded a little interview with them.
Yeah, I was able to sit down and talk with them.
Okay, so let's listen to that now.
How old are you?
9.
Zakiya, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. How old are you?
I'm 12.
Is this your first time here?
My first time here.
How do you like it? Have you actually gotten a chance to walk around and see all the booths and stuff? How do you like it?
I like it. I think it's a really cool event.
No, not really.
What made you write a book?
My sister encouraged me because when I was watching her, it made me want to do it.
Okay, so what's the Enchanted Forest about?
It's about a person who discovers he has powers.
So, Zakiya, tell us all about your book.
My book is about a girl who gets kidnapped, but then she has 20 days to escape.
What's the setting of the book?
The book is in Oregon.
What about you? Where does your book take place?
Japan.
So these books are pretty lengthy. How many pages are your book?
186.
And Michael, how many pages are your book?
50.
Hey, what made you want to get into writing?
My Spanish teacher, she asked me if I wanted to do this program called NaNoWriMo, which is where you have to try to write a novel in the month of November. So I tried that. I really liked it. So after I wrote my novel, I wanted to get it published.
So do you plan on writing other books?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're listening to Local Talk. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host, and I'm here with KHOI host for The Hotspot, Vivica Dillard.
Hello, hello, hello.
Who is usually on Saturday at 8 o'clock.
From 8 to 9 every Saturday.
That's right. Vivica went this weekend to the I'll Make Me a World in Iowa, a festival of African American culture that's held in Des Moines for 19 years now, and she's described a little bit of what she experienced.
I met a couple of ladies from Zeta Phi Beta Incorporated. For those of you who don't know, that is one of the Divine Nine sororities.
And what is the Divine Nine sorority?
The Divine Nine is a group of African-American sorority and fraternities. Zeta Phi Beta is one of them. And one of the headliners, Selena Johnson, she is a member of Zeta Phi Beta. So that was also a very significant part of her being there as well. I met a couple of ladies from the sorority. I got to talk to them about the festival. I believe they've been there like all 19 years.
Let's listen to that.
Hi, I'm Nikki Smith. Came into Zeta Phi Beta through Iowa State at Upsilon Nu.
Lonnie Daphne, the same. Was an undergraduate at Iowa State. Came in through Upsilon Nu chapter.
What does an event like this mean to Des Moines, to Iowa in general?
I think it gives our kids and the community as a whole an opportunity to see things that aren't necessarily negative about our community. They always display the negatives, or we always see the negatives, and nobody tends to talk about the positive, but this is that point where we can highlight that.
I would say for Iowa, simply because of the demographic of the state, this is the largest African-American celebration in Iowa, and it kicks off Black History Month, so it's super important for the community as well as companies to come and showcase what African-American impact has in the state of Iowa.
It's a cultural event, so I think everybody could come and celebrate. There's something here for everybody. There's entertainment, there's food, there's companies, they have a job fair, they have workshops, so it's for everybody, but it just happens to be an African-American celebration.
We're listening to Local Talk. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host, and I'm here with KHOI host Vivica Dillard. Vivica went this weekend to the I'll Make Me a World in Iowa, a festival of African American culture that's held in Des Moines. Vivica, you described some young people that were selling books and members of a black sorority. Who else did you talk to while you were there?
I got a chance to meet Core DJ, worldwide DJ, DJ Ism. He provided the soundtrack for the day, and he has been with this entire event since day one. After I spoke with DJ Ism, I was able to talk with headliner Dedu Biggs. He's an artist that's been on my show several times. He is a local artist. He's from Des Moines, and he's huge in Des Moines. He does so much for the city as far when it comes to volunteering at shelters, throwing free events in the park during the summers. So Des Moines really shows a lot of love to him, and he's a kid that came from going to this event to now headlining it. On the Friday night, they have a gala that awards people that have done like outstanding things in their communities, mm-hmm. that recognizes community leaders every year, volunteers at the Boys and Girls Club, where they be school teachers, board members. So they do take the time out to do that. And then they also have Education Day on Friday as well. Well, they have different schools come out, different school administrators, and these are all head people that are black. For I think that's great for the kids to see such leadership from people that look like them. One of the most important pictures from President Obama's term was the little boy that wanted to touch his hair because he wanted to see if it felt like his. No, it's little things that you don't realize. It just touches you. It's that positivity, seeing that I can be a superintendent. It's not a corny job to have. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's an upstanding job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice to see.
Once again, we've been speaking about the I'll Make Me a World annual Festival of African American Culture in Des Moines, Iowa, with Vivica Dillard, who is African American.
And cat out of the bag.
And you described the festival as a really warm-hearted family event that it sounds like it didn't feel artificial at all. It felt like people really came and were very open-hearted with each other and really shared their lives with each other.
That's 100%. I mm-hmm. can't shout out DJ Ism enough. Oh my goodness. Shout out to DJ Ism. Right away, just from jump, he just showed so much love. And he had me back there sitting with him the whole time, just pulling people aside, getting me different interviews with people, getting me different pictures and stuff. And it was just so much love. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of love. So shout out to everyone that brings that event to the city every single year. I appreciate you. If nobody else does, I do.
You know, at the beginning of the interview, you were talking about how because African Americans are still a relative minority in Iowa, that it doesn't feel completely normalized. You're subject to a lot of stereotypes. Would you recommend that white people go to this festival to get a better understanding, to feel more connected to African Americans?
75% of me says yes.
And the other 25% says?
Okay. As a black person in Iowa, mm-hmm. it is really hard to go somewhere where it's just black people embracing black people.
This is an event where African Americans can be with each other.
Yeah. As a white person in Iowa, it is extremely easy for a white person to go somewhere where it's mm-hmm. white people embracing white people, mm-hmm. loving white people. You know what I mean? So it's sometimes, as bad as this may sound, it's mm-hmm. sometimes it's good to get that break. It's mm-hmm. a breath of fresh air to walk in and see a bunch of people that look like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a breath of fresh air for 8 years to see a president and a first lady that looked like my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So, absolutely.
To be honest, yeah, it's cool to come and experience it, but let us have it. If you are black and you did not make it out to this year's I'll Make Me a World in Iowa event, please mark it on your calendars right now. That immediately before Black History Month next year, that you will make it out. You will take yourself, your kids, your family, your wife, whatever. You will go and you will experience, you will just introduce everybody, or you will just have that, get that experience that you need before Black History Month. That's my final word.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the story with us.
Anytime.
Okay. Thank you, Vivica.
One day we'll say, with hard work and determination, anything's possible. And it's all right. Yo, this is just me. Alright. Come down.
I want my mom to just hold on. I want my bro to just come home. I want my family to stay together. I want us all to just be strong, cause it's alright. Cause it's alright. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I want my mom to just hold on. I want my bro to just come home. I want my family to stay together. I want us all to just be strong, cause it's alright. Yeah. Cause it's alright. When I make it, I don't wanna hear about nobody going to jail. No phone calls, no get letters, no sending money, no bail. I can't take it. Can't blame that on blood. When I'm grinding hard and I'm dreaming big and I'm doing this for us, it's enough. So take it in and I hope you understand it. I say it now and I say it loud, cause I'm telling you now I'm planning. Might fall up, might slip up, might catch luck when it's granted. We don't stop, we push each other, we stay loyal, that's family. Hold on, keep it real, I ain't told you yet. No, I know I ain't told you yet. They give us.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we are enjoying some really great music today. I am your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and the first piece of music you just heard was by Dat Dude Biggs, whom KHOI's Vivica Deller described as a headlining performer and gracious host to her at the I'll Make a World Iowa Festival of African American Culture, which was held last Saturday in Des Moines in anticipation of Black History Month. Then we segued into music by Lady Smith Black Mambazo, who will be performing next Sunday at C.Y. Stevens Auditorium, a concert anticipated by many. KHOI's reporter Gail Seiler took advantage of this rare opportunity to speak with a member of the South African male choral group, which has risen to worldwide prominence. Gail spoke by phone with Joseph Mazubuku, one of the original group members. He describes the musical group's origins, their pride and love for South Africa's people and culture, and how they have become the premier representatives of traditional South African culture. The recording Gail made of the interview starts out with a most cheerful greeting from Mr. Mazubuku.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Mazubuku. Is that
yes.
correct? Great. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Oh, very good.
You're in Oakland, California, and then you'll be coming to Ames, Iowa, where I'm speaking with you from, on Sunday, February 5th.
Wonderful.
So I guess we'll start by asking you, how long has Lady Smith Black Mambazo been in existence, and how did it start?
It has been around for 56 years. This is the 57th year. And was founded by Joseph Shabalala. He wanted to achieve this kind of music because he used to hear his father and their cousins singing. He said something is missing. So when he was a young man in 1960, he got around his friends and then so they started to sing and then he tried to teach what he was feeding. And when he was trying to teach them, so they couldn't agree with him, they said his teaching was too difficult for them. And then so that gave me a chance in 1969. He came to me, I was with my brother, and then he came with his brother. So we said, give us your new teaching. And we reformed the group, and it was exciting.
So you've been with it since very early on.
Yes, and I've been with him since 1969.
How would you describe the group? You're all from South Africa, is that correct?
Yes, we're all from South Africa.
And you're an all-male group?
Yes, an all-male group, because this kind of music, the music that was born when people they were working on the mines, long time ago, that's where people, they were taken from their homes and come to work in the mine and stay in the compound. The women, they were not allowed. So they got together on weekends and they entertain each other. So that's how the music, it started. So that's why it's only men. So in Ladysmith Black Mambazo, right now we are 9 of us, but most is family, because we have 4 sons of Joseph Shabalala. I have a brother. We are also cousins to the Shabalalas, and we also have the son of another retired member, and we have another 2 friends of us.
So many of you are related to each other.
Yes.
And are there musical instruments, or it's a cappella?
It's a cappella. It's only voice, no instrument.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had the pleasure of seeing you yet, but I hope to when you come to Ames. But I have listened, and it sounds like you're also making sounds, not just with your mouths, but with your feet and other body parts. Is that correct?
Yes, when we sing and we dance, and sometimes you can hear the sound that is made by our feet. And then so we use the hands. I think the best way for you to find out, please come, because it will be a wonderful show. We'll be singing and dancing and having a good time.
All right. And how did the name of the group originate?
Ladysmith is where Joseph was born, and I was also born around Ladysmith, and we grew up there. So the tradition of this music we sing, because if you go to some places, you want people to know where are you coming from. Ladysmith is our hometown, but the black refers to oxen, because we grew up on the farm using this animal to cultivate the land. The black ones, they were very powerful, and Joseph used to be a driver of the oxen. Mambazo is the name of an axe, the chopping axe. The chopping axe is a very important tool when you are living on the farm, because it helps you to be able to chop some trees and build your house and build your sledge to transport your crops. Also, when you are walking in the thick forest, so you will be able to open the way with it. So we said, we are coming from Ladysmith with our powerful voice, we will pave the way and build our future.
Mm, the 3 parts of the title. And you mentioned that this style of singing originated with men who were working away from home, particularly in the mines.
Yes.
I know that there are different ethnic groups in South Africa.
In South Africa, we have about 11 different tribes.
Is it associated with one of the ethnic groups more than others?
Yeah, it's more famous with the Zulu people.
Mm-hmm.
The Zulu people, they're known as the people that who sings very good, so they're famous with their dancing. When they were doing their dancing in the mines, they are dancing, it's stomping very hard, but because they are security guard in the compound, they said, no, you are disturbing the other people. So they stop stomping, but they start tiptoeing. So that's why the music is called Isikatamiya. It means tiptoe, walk lightly on your toes.
Ah, how interesting. And many of your songs are in English, but do you sing in other languages as well?
We sing the most in our native language, which is Zulu.
Okay, so the language spoken by Zulu people is called isiZulu.
Yes.
Okay, and most of your songs are in that.
The most we like when we sing a lot in isiZulu, because the music is originated from the Zulu dance,
mm-hmm.
But we sing also in English. Joseph is a good music writer, so he writes in English also and in isiZulu. In some other languages in South Africa, we have songs in Germany, we have song in Sotho, we have song in other languages around South Africa.
And does Joseph write all of your songs?
Joseph, he used to write all our songs. It's only that new CD, Walking in the Footsteps of Our Fathers, that's where three of his sons wrote their own songs. They have been writing their songs, but not for Lady Smiple Pambazo, but for their groups. They also have their own groups. So this time they put these three songs in this city, Walking in the Footsteps of Our Fathers, which it gives me a great pride that, wow, Lady Smiple Pambazo is going to be around forever.
Mm-hmm, right. Your legacy will continue with the next generation.
Absolutely.
You mentioned your latest CD. And the group has made many recording CDs and records, and you've won many awards. Can you tell us about some of that?
Yes, we are so blessed that I remember our first Grammy Award, it was won by our city called Shaka Zulu. So we re-recorded that, and then we call it Shaka Zulu Revisited. That was 1988. And then after that, we have won 4 Grammys. And also, Walking in the Footsteps of Our Fathers is nominated for the Grammys this year. So hopefully we will take this back home. This is the 17th nomination for the Grammys. And then we also have other awards, as you just mentioned.
And are you as popular in South Africa, or even more popular in South Africa than you are when you tour elsewhere in the world?
I think it's the same thing, because at home we started to be popular, and then even now people, they still admire Lady Smiple Pambazo, and we are always invited. If it's any event that is important in South Africa, and the people, they love our music very much.
Just so the listener can associate you with an album that they may have heard, if they haven't heard your personal albums, Lady Smith Black Mambazo performed with Paul Simon, and so people may have heard that CD. And I'm sure everyone asks you about this.
Yes, and then we'll be performing some songs from the Creation album of Paul Simon. They're like a song that Homeless, mm-hmm. the song that Diamonds on the Soles of His Shoes.
Right, and so you still perform some of those songs from that album?
Yes, we still perform those songs.
Okay, so people can look forward to hearing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you travel all over the world. You're on a tour of the United States now. What is your goal in touring and singing all over the world?
Is to spread the culture of South Africa, of love, peace, and harmony. That's what we want to share with people. And also encourage people that they should be proud of their culture and maintain it and promote it and share it with other people.
And the group existed during apartheid, because you've been around, as you said, for many years. What was it like at that time? Were you allowed to perform and travel throughout South Africa?
You know, at that time, after we became famous, people invite us in some other places. So the problem is, as a black person in that time, you should have a permit to be in one particular city or the town. So every time when we travel, we had a problem that we were stopped by the police, ask us, where are we going? And then Joseph was doing something that was so remarkable, because it was always to explain, and then some of them, they didn't understand, and then we just start the song and sing. They always let us go.
Your song was magical. And were you allowed to travel outside of the country at that time?
We were allowed. We used to travel to neighboring countries, but 1981 we were invited in Germany. We traveled there, but we have to go to so many screening that they have to check you, that you don't have any political influence, and then you don't have any criminal record, and then all those things. So we passed all those, and then we went to Germany. So when we came back, we also have to be asked all kind of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, we were allowed to go.
Once apartheid ended, then you were able to travel more freely to other countries and even in South Africa.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you say that the group played a role in the resistance to apartheid?
You know, I can put it this way. People, they said our music has been an inspiration for them, because even those who were in exile, so say they used our music just to comfort themselves and then just give themselves a hope, even when they are in training camps, they were using our music. And when we first met Dr. Nelson Mandela himself, he said, "Your music has been a great inspiration for me." So I could say that it was because our aim it was just to empower people and encourage them to come together and solve whatever problem that they are facing.
That's a message that people all over the world can relate to and learn from.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Nelson Mandela. I understand that when he won and accepted the Nobel Peace Prize, he requested that your group come with him and perform when he accepted the prize. Is that correct?
Absolutely, because we first met him in 1990 after he was released. Then he told us that he loved our music. He wants us to be with him wherever he goes. On his inauguration, he took us everywhere where he goes after that. And then when it was time for him to go to Norway to receive his Nobel Peace Prize, he requested that we go and also to sing at the ceremony.
Mm-hmm. And so you were a part of that, did
yes.
that?
Yes. And then we sang at the ceremony.
Well, I had the opportunity to visit South Africa. I was working with students and teachers, and I noticed that singing is a very big part of the culture there. Students would sing as they walked to school. They had several singing groups that were student-run, and they would stay after school and practice their singing and their stepping as well. So it really struck me how important that was to Zulu culture and South African culture.
Absolutely. It's a part of life. And then when I grew up on the farm, singing was everywhere. Whatever we do with singing. You know, lately I was amazed by the kids when I'm sitting in my house and then on the street, it's a lot of kids in the area that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
You find those kids, I'm talking about those toddlers from 2 years up to maybe seven, they always sing, and they sing so beautiful. And then they make wonderful harmonies. Said, wow, this is amazing. I don't know why these people, they got this. It's a talent. I think it's a gift for South African people.
It did amaze me because the students were singing without. There was no choir director. There was no one telling them to take different parts. And you're right, the harmonies they were able to create were remarkable.
I think it is in our nature.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much for speaking with me. And when we air this interview, I'll be sure to tell people the date and the time, and because we're looking forward to it here in Ames. We'll be glad to see you and safe travels.
Foreign, foreign, beautiful rain. Foreign, 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 beautiful rain. Don't disturb. Beautiful rain, oh come,
never come,
oh come,
never come,
oh come to me, beautiful rain,
beautiful rain,
oh come
to me,
oh come,
beautiful rain,
oh come to me, beautiful rain,
rain,
rain, rain, rain, rain, beautiful rain, 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 rain. Beautiful rain, oh come,
never come,
oh come,
never come,
oh come to me, beautiful rain,
beautiful rain,
oh come,
never come,
oh come,
never come,
oh come to me, beautiful rain.
When the sun says goodnight to the mountains,
I am dreaming of the sun, say good night.
When the sun says good night
to the mountain,
to the mountain,
I am dreaming of the sun, say good night.
When the sun goes down,
the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night.
When the sun says good night
to the mountain,
to the mountain,
I am dreaming of the sun. Say good night.
When the sun goes down, the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night.
When the sun says good night to the mountain,
to the mountain,
I am dreaming of the sun. Say good night.
When the sun goes down,
the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night.
When the sun says goodnight to the mountains,
to the mountain,
I am dreaming of the sun. Say goodnight. Rain, beautiful rain. Rain, beautiful rain. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come to me, beautiful rain.
Ladysmith Black Mambazo, a rare opportunity to see this renowned South African vocal group, is coming up next Sunday, February 5th at 2:30 p.m. at C.Y. Stevens Auditorium in Ames. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster or go to center.iastate.edu for more information. That's center.iastate.edu for information about the concert of Ladysmith Black Mambazo. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa, and we're enjoying the magic of music and culture today on the show. I am your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and it is such a pleasure to be able to send in your direction the thoughts of these people and their music. We have one more musical group for you. Reed Miller is here, and he has news about another great concert opportunity coming up in Ames on February 7th. This one is a more intimate nature. Reed, tell us what's happening.
It's a potluck supper and a house concert. A house concert is a concert like you'd expect, but it's in someone's house, a large room where people can gather and be right at the feet of the musicians. Probably won't use a sound system, so you get to hear the full acoustic impact of the instruments and the voices.
And whose house is this going to be
in? It's the home of Larry Gleason and Valerie Williams. The address is 711 Carroll Avenue here in Ames. They've remodeled an older home, created a gathering space. So it's a beautiful room. Acoustically, it's a great room to listen to live music in.
So tell us about the band.
The band is Sassafras Stomp, and they hail from the Maine, Montana border. Now, what is the Maine, Montana border? Well, they have a certified organic farm in Maine where one of their band members' family's from, Joanna Davis. And Adam Nordell is the other band member. His family's from Montana. So they farm in Maine in the summer. And in the winter, they sort of hunker down in Montana, but they travel the roads doing concerts, promoting CDs that they release, and play music for contra dances. So they're passing through. They'll be here midweek, heading from Montana to the Northeast, and they offer to do a house concert on February 7th.
They're farmers by summer and musicians by winter.
That's it.
And what's their music like?
Well, it's described as music from the heart and the land. So much like what we've been listening to with Ladysmith Black Mambazo, their music talks about how we feel in our hearts and how we're rooted in the land and wherever we live. So Sassafras Stomp features fiddle and delightfully nuanced sort of modern renditions of older and old time and long time fiddle music, along with guitar and some banjo. They have a special guest traveling with them, a young man named Sean Oshima. He's a native Hawaiian, and so he will be playing guitar and ukulele. He's a singer-songwriter. All of their music, Sassafras Stomp and Sean Oshima. That's Sean, S-E-A-N, Oshima, O-S-H-I-M-A, can be sampled on YouTube for listeners who would like to get a sort of an auditory sample. And then if they'll go on Facebook to Sassafras Stomp Ames House Concert, Sassafras Stomp Ames House Concert on Facebook, there's an event and they can click going and reserve a seat at the program.
Are you involved with organizing this event?
I met the musicians, Adam and Johanna, from Sassafras Stomp a few years back when they played at a contra dance where I was calling and dancing. And subsequent to that, a few weeks later, I got a chance to be at a house concert where they played. It's music that I love, and it's music pretty much everybody who listens to it feels fond about if they don't fall in love with it, too. So Adam contacted me a few weeks ago and said the band was passing through. They were needing to do an overnight stop in their travels anyway, and would be interested in hosting them here in Ames. It's a rare opportunity, but one that we hope we can replicate midwinter going forward in years to come.
So you ended up cooperating and arranging this for them in Ames because you like the concert that you've heard of in the past?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, they're very easy to get to know, very easy to be comfortable with in the room, and much the same as with Ladysmith Black Mombasa. We feel, you know, a part of the music when Sassafras Stomp plays.
Mm-hmm. Same feeling, a little bit of a different type of music, a little different heritage.
Very much so, very much so.
This is bluegrass music?
No, it's called contra. Contra dance, the term contra dance, it's the way the French described dancing brought to France a few hundred years ago from Great Britain and the British Isles. The distinguishing characteristic was there was a line of men facing a line of women. And so the French, seeing those two lines facing, called it contre, meaning two lines opposite each other, mm-hmm. contre dance. And the English went from contre dance to contra dance. The music is rooted in mostly Northern Europe, but Adam brings some other nuances. He plays a variety of musical styles on his guitar. And so much the same way, if we remember when here in America we first heard of Ladysmith Black Mombasa, when Paul Simon went to South Africa, met them, and brought them back to the States for Sassafras Stomp. There's this blend of various musical styles, jazz and reggae and other, on the guitar that blends with Johannes' fiddle. So it becomes a marvelous sort of a marbling of the musical styles that way.
Hmm. Sounds very nice. Is this going to be a dance or a concert?
It'll be certainly a concert. And if there are people there who wish to dance...
There's room to do that?
There is room to do that. We'll have to, you know, fold up the chairs and move them aside, roll up the rugs like our grandparents and great-grandparents did in the days of settling the prairie. And I'm sure Adam and Johanna and Sean will be happy to play for us.
And do you have to bring food to this?
You don't have to bring food. It is mm-hmm. a potluck supper at 6 p.m. on February 7th, and the concert is at 7. Mm-hmm. If you are working...
But you can if you want to.
You can if you want to. And, of course, there's nothing quite like the smorgasbord of possibilities at a potluck supper.
Yeah, Ames does tend to produce really nice potluck dinners, so I'm sure that'll be a very pleasant part of the evening, too. Mm-hmm. Tell us again the details, the day, the address.
Yeah, it's a Sassafras Stomp Ames House Concert. That's how you find it on Facebook, at the home of Larry Gleason and Valerie Williams at 711 Carroll Avenue. That's a block north of Banshell Park. Mm-hmm. The potluck is at 6 p.m., and the house concert begins at 7. The musicians are planning to play about an hour and a half, so mm-hmm. we won't go terribly late. They have to leave the next morning. They're heading for Maine the next morning.
Give again a place where someone could find out more information about this online.
Online, they can go to sassafrasstomp.com and find out about it there, or... there are other contra dance connections in the area. If they want to go to DesMoinesContraDance.org, the contra dance group in Des Moines is reaching out to Ames, Des Moines being the gateway to lovely Ames. And so there's more information on the Des Moines Contra Dance website. But SassafrasStomp.com and YouTube would be great places to sample their music and learn more.
Okay, I'm going to try and play a sample of their music and maybe use it as the background for the ending credits for the show.
And we can just imagine listeners starting their morning off. doing a little contra dancing, getting the week going.
Red dirt shows in the space between the rows. That grass will grow back, we'll be back at it with our hose. Not in it for the profit, but the feeling in our souls. Poor bare feet in the fresh turned earth, that's the way that this song goes. Cause I can see our years together, they're stretching out before us. Farm fields in the evening light at the edge of the forest. Trees always reaching towards the sun. I find myself drawn in your direction. Not much sometimes, I know it's not enough. We stretch it where we can, like milk and eggs in a frying pan. Milk and eggs in a frying pan. Hard times show you where you stand. Hard times knock you down the line, looking for your lucky dime. And I can see our years together, they're stretching out before us. Farm fields in the evening light at the edge of the forest. Trees always reaching towards the sun, I find myself drawn in your direction.
That's Music from the Land from Sassafras Stomp. The song is about their organic farm in Maine on the Sandy River, banks of the Sandy River in Maine.
And that is just about it for Local Talk. We're listening to Sassafras Stomp, who will be performing with guest Sean Oshima on Tuesday, February 7th on Ames. It will be a potluck and house concert, including food, fiddle, banjo, guitar, and vocals at the home of Valerie Williams and Larry Gleason at 711 Carroll Avenue. Potluck starts at 6 and the concert starts at 7. There'll be a more modest suggested donation to the artists. Reed Miller, thank you for stopping by to spread the news of this. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, as well as Reed Miller. We also heard today from KHOI's Vivica Dillard, and reporter Gail Seiler brought us an interview from Joseph Mazubuku of Lady Blacksmith Mombazo, who will perform at CY Stevens Auditorium this coming Sunday on February 5th. Field correspondent Von Kittleson and climatologist Elwin Taylor brought you the weekly weather prediction. Right now we're listening to Sassafras Stomp. Other music you heard was by Dat Dude Biggs and Ladysmith Black Mambazo. You can also listen to this show again online and all of our past Local Talk shows at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, and you'll find today's show as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, is able to post it with links to information about the people and events we talked about. KHOI streams live online at khoifm.org. At Local Talk, we always welcome new reporters, so if you're interested, contact us. You can find all of our contact information at khoifm.org. We'll train you, so experience is not required, just an interest in community. Please remember that you, as the listener, are the most important part of Local Talk. Your participation as the audience and your generous donations help make this all possible. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again on the radio.
When the sideways light is playing on the golden tasseled corn, and the air of the flying geese points out once more, we can fill our stores with grain, the hope to do it all again. But if you're gonna work this hard, you better do it with a real good friend. And I can see our years together, they're stretching out before us. Farm fields in evening light at the edge of the forest. Trees always reaching towards the sun. I find myself drawn in your direction. I find myself drawn in your direction.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.